Well, let's get into the Word tonight. Are you ready to get into the Bible a little bit? I know you are. That's why you're here. It's a Wednesday night. Where else would you be, right? You came to the house of God. And a couple of weeks ago, I preached on location, location, location. This is not an ordinary place. This is a place of supernatural impartation. This is a place when supernatural things take place. Spectacular things open up. Revelation comes. Don't ever sit in the house of God thinking that it won't be your night. It doesn't matter if you get one word out of this entire message. It can literally change your life forever. So come expecting always, whether you go to a teaching class, preaching ministry, a concert, it doesn't matter, because where the presence of God is, there are some spectacular things happening in the spiritual realm. So we're going to go to Acts 16. Acts 16 is chock full of good stuff. And it starts out, verses 1 to 5, referring to a young man by the name of Timothy. Have you ever heard of him in the Bible? There's two books by his name, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, letters of the Apostle Paul to him. And but this gives the story in chapter 16 when they actually met him. In verse 1, he was a son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. And we go on through the verses and how Paul took him aside and began to pour into him and raised him up as his most trusted companion in the gospel. Now that's important to hear. God wants to give you solid, trusted, covenant relationships in the kingdom of God. They are essential to the apostolic message. The apostolic message depends upon faithful Timothys who can be mentored under that apostolic anointing and make a connection to the kingdom that will expand the gospel in a region. Now, I'm going to throw something out at you. I believe that Timothy is a type of this modern era church. I believe that the apostle of our confession, Jesus Christ himself, is looking for a Timothy church. Is looking for a Timothy convert that he can pour into and raise up and become that spokesman or that son the way Timothy was to Paul. They found him and he became a prototype of what I believe the local church needs to become. Now look at 2 Timothy 1 verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son. Grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Timothy is a sample believer. And there are three qualities that produce a Timothy in this time in which we live. Number one, the first quality is that he was ordained by the laying on of hands. Timothy received the laying on of hands of apostolic authority. That is essential. A local ministry can receive the impartation of the apostolic authority by the laying on of hands. I remember many times when I was with Dr. Lester Summerall, you never knew when he would pray for you. He would follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. You could be sitting down, breaking bread, having lunch, eating your tomato soup and crackers. And all of a sudden, he'd reach over to you, slam you in the belly with his hand, and say, "Be blessed." Like, okay, what was that all about? And he'd never respond. He'd just go back to eating his soup. And he believed that when there was an unction on him, it wasn't just for him. It was to be released, and it was released through the laying on of hands. This is something the church has lost in this time, where there are spiritual authorities that you want to pray for you. You want them to lay hands on you. Or you want that impartation of the anointing that they flow under. That was the first quality or characteristic of this young Timothy. Number two, there were prophetic utterances given to him. Matter of fact, Paul referred to them later and said, these prophetic utterances are what raised you up. This is what strengthened you. You need to stir yourself up according to what the prophetic utterance has been released in you and to you. That's why prophetic worship is so important. That's why prophetic preaching is so important. That's why prophetic teaching is so important. Why? Because they're utterances that you can receive for yourself. You do not need to have a prophet stand on the platform, call out your name, give you a personal word to receive an utterance from God. You need to expand your vision. You begin to understand that when I'm in the atmosphere of a prophetic release, I'm receiving every utterance that I can get. If it's being released, I'm coming under it. If it's going to be preached, I'm going to receive it. If it's going to be spoken, I'm claiming it for me and my house. There were prophetic utterances that he received. Third, there was an impartation of spiritual giftedness. An impartation of spiritual giftedness. It was sort of like the Elijah and the Elisha. But then the book of Acts chapter 16 takes a little turn. It tells us about this kind of church that's going to be raised up. The qualities or the characteristics of that church. And the implications of it to expand the prophetic boundaries in a region. But then it goes into verses 6 to 8 and begins to talk about the Spirit and the Word. Look at that with me in verse 6. It says this, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the Word in Asia." Now this is a very unique portion of Scripture. Paul's ready to preach. Now think about it with me. The Bible says in Matthew 28, Jesus said, "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel," right? Here we read in chapter 16 and verse 6, they are attempting, somebody please answer your phone. All right, you got it? There we go. No. Okay. It's okay, you'll find it. It's like my wife. Her phone goes off. She goes, "I don't know where it's at." But anyway, I don't know what I was saying now. But anyway, in Acts chapter 16 and verse 6, you almost read a contradiction. What does it say? It said they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word where? Is Asia part of the entire world? Okay, if God said go into all the world and preach the gospel, and they're going to preach the world and the gospel to the whole world, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, not in Asia. Now, doesn't that seem like a contradiction? And it can appear to be that way. This is why this is a schooling, this is a tutorial, this is a teaching for us as the body of Christ to learn the dependency upon the Spirit of God. There's a lot of things we can do, doesn't mean we need to do. There's a lot of things that must be done. Doesn't mean that we're assigned to do them. There's a lot of hungry people. There's a lot of people that need to be comforted. A lot of people need to be counseled. We need to build outreach centers. We need to reach the homeless. There's a lot of things that need to be done. But that doesn't mean God's told us to do it. That's why when a couple of weeks ago, the still small voice is so essential. Developing that. Understanding. So here we have a spirit and word ministry that's being developed. Forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. This is why I believe the Holy Spirit said no. Because he knows what cities are ready to receive the gospel. There's a time for the word and the will of God. And if you're not in that season or in that time, there is not much you can do about it when a city is not ready to receive it. I believe that we're coming into a time and a season where Northeastern Ohio is ready to receive the word of the Lord. But watch this now, because in Matthew, the Lord's saying, go into all the world. Here in Acts 16, he's telling them not to go. And the reason for it is this: the Holy Spirit goes before the word and prepares the way for the word. I believe if the Holy Spirit hasn't gone before the Word, then the Word cannot go without the Holy Spirit's preparation. So you and I have got to understand that the presence of the Holy Spirit has got to go before us. Everything we do is Spirit-led. Everything we do is Spirit-directed. It might be a good thing, but it may not be the God thing for the moment. Don't try to force feed a person receiving the Word of God. Or don't try to make a ministry work in a region just because somebody else is doing it. It has to be on the heels of the Spirit of God preparing the ground. How do I know that? It's a principle we find in creation in Genesis 1, 1 to 5. We find that the earth was void, it was without form, darkness covered the earth. Then it tells us the Holy Spirit was hovering over all of that without form and that void and all of that chaos. The Holy Spirit was present. And then the Word was spoken. And when the Word was spoken, the Holy Spirit and the Word worked together to bring cosmos out of the chaos. You follow what I'm saying? That's why you and I have got to develop a spirit consciousness, a Holy Spirit awareness in our lives 24/7. It is a type of the New Testament church of which Acts 16 is revealing. Now, we see that throughout Scripture in Acts 1:8, the Spirit goes before the Word of God when He said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." In Acts 2, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues before Peter delivered his discourse in chapter 2. He began to preach, but the Spirit of God fell first. We see in Acts chapter 8, the Spirit said to Philip, "Go and overtake the chariot." And Philip opened his mouth and began to preach the Scripture to the eunuch, and he got saved. But it was the Spirit of God that prepared the chariot for Philip to enter. It was all predicated upon the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 13, it was the church at Antioch. And there we say, the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, "Set apart or separate these men unto me for this ministry." They just didn't go out on a missionary journey. It was the Holy Spirit that went first and then said, "Let them come and speak the word on where I've already traversed." See, we need to know that the Holy Spirit leading us one direction or another has already been there and prepared the way. Acts 19, the same thing at the church at Ephesus. All of these illustrate the Spirit and the Word together. Listen to 1 John. This is great. Verse 5 and 8. "There are three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one." Acts 10, verses 19 and verse 36. "While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all.'" In other words, the Holy Spirit came and prepared Peter that there will be men coming to knock on his door, to ask him to come and to preach the gospel to Cornelius and his household. The preaching came after the Holy Spirit prepared. So we must in our intercession and our dependency in this hour always have total reliance on the Holy Spirit to go before us and be led by the Spirit. So don't just take a word from God and expect it to work. It works in conjunction with the Spirit of God. And let me say this. The Spirit will never violate or contradict the Word of God. Let me say that one more time. The Spirit will never violate, and I think I have that on a slide if you can put it up, because I want people to look at that and get it in their spirit. The Spirit will never violate or contradict the Word that He wrote. I've had people say, in counseling, using the Word of God to tell a person that God said to divorce that woman or that man so you can go higher in your calling. They're holding you back. Now, the Spirit of God will never contradict in a word what He has written. It just doesn't make sense for us to accept that even. Now, if you have the word, someone said, without the Spirit, we tend to dry up. But if we have the Spirit without the word, we tend to blow up. But if we have the Spirit and the Word, we tend to grow up. You follow what I'm saying? There are those who have the Word and no Spirit, dry, no life, letter of the law. Then we have those that have all Spirit and no Word, and they're freaky, and they're like a carnival show, and they see all kind of things, and they're like, woo! You know what I'm talking about? They blow up. But man, when you get the Word and the Spirit, we grow up. Praise God. Amen? How many are ready to grow up? I am. I'm ready to grow up. The Word without the Spirit is like the letter which killeth. But the Spirit, He brings life. 2 Corinthians 3:6, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, something amazing. We see in one context of a chapter, a model or a prototype of a New Testament believer, Timothy, who has three distinct qualities. He has the laying on of hands, a transference of authority. He operates under prophetic release. And he knows how to operate in spiritual gifts. It's a prototype of the church, of the modern believer. My aspiration tonight is to be like a Timothy. I want to have those qualities in my life. But then I understand that when I receive them and operate in them, I want a divine balance of Word and Spirit. I want to be able to allow the Spirit to go before me and rely upon the Word, because it's the Spirit that brings life of that Word. The Word alone will bring a suffocation. So now it's schooling me and training me, all within the first 8 verses of chapter 16. But then the chapter takes another turn. It places down another layer of foundation upon this New Testament church. Timothy is a type of a believer in our 21st century. How he operates under those qualities. How he relies upon the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And now we go in verses 11 and 12. He sailed from Troas and ran a course to another city. And there to another city and a colony. And in that city for some days. And verse 14 is where I want you to look at. Paul says this. A woman which worshiped God, whose heart the Lord had opened. He meets a woman. He has an encounter at a specific place. You know where it was? The river. And what were they doing at the river? This woman that was worshiping, this woman that was having a little gathering, a church service, if you will, they were at a river, and the Bible says they were praying. Now we're going a little bit further. In the 21st century church, modeled after a son, Timothy, with three distinct qualities, relying upon the Spirit and the Word, a divine balance, with the confidence of a flow of the power of God. Now, understanding the importance of locating yourself by the river. In other words, the flow of the Holy Spirit. And what do we do with that flow of the Holy Spirit? We make intercession. We learn how to pray. We learn how to cry out and call out to God. First, she has an open heart, and then she opens her house. And all this occurs by the free flow of the Holy Spirit, the river, prayer in connection with this free flow of the Holy Spirit. So prayer is established. Secondly, power in verse 16. It happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Now watch this, church. Please follow the succession of Acts 16. We see Timothy, a new type of believer, a prototype of the 21st century believer. Then we see the reliance of the Spirit and the Word. Then we see how the reliance of location by the flow of the Spirit is where we're planted. And we make intercession as the Spirit of God leads us. For what purpose? A demonstration of power. But what kind of demonstration of power? Did you notice they didn't have to go looking for anybody that was bound? This person who was under the domination of the spirit of divination came to them. You know, a lot of people say that evil spirits will run from believers. I think they're attracted to believers. I think the more anointed you are, the more demon problems, situations will come your way. Don't be intimidated by that, but understand what happened. A girl with a spirit of divination met us and brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. She had a certain spirit that theologians called a spirit of Python. A Python spirit. Now, what is that? A python is a large snake which kills its victims two ways. The weight of its coiling around the body and its constriction. Suffocation. Its ability to crush. This woman was operating under a spirit of suffocation or crushing or weight. Acts 16 is revealing to you and me the kind of ministry we're called to. We're called to loose the grip of the crushing, weighted, suffocating spirit that is upon a generation. Woo, man, I'm excited. Do you see what I'm talking about? You say, well, I don't know anybody that's suffocating, crushing, and weighed under by circumstances. Then you're not alive. Because everywhere you look, we see people under this spirit. This woman, though, was a victim. She was not a willing slave. And we live in a generation where people are victimized. They're not willing slaves. You say, well, you know, that's their choice if they want to live like that. That's their choice if they want to participate in that. Friends, I'm telling you, I believe there are a lot of people who have never made that choice. They're not a willing servant. They are enslaved. Their will is being dominated by this spirit. And now God brings this girl to them. And Paul and Silas discerned that this spirit, and by the gift of the word of faith, they cast it out, exercising it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this chapter concludes verses 19 to 22 with a great summarization that you and I could latch onto and say, you know what, God? I'm going to aspire to this model that I see in Acts 16 for my life. And I'm going to go over those principles again because I gave them to you rather quickly, three or four of them. But let me give you one more. It is a group that is full of passion. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Because they used her to bring profit to themselves. And it tells us that the multitude rose up against them together, and they were beaten with rods and cast into prison because of business reasons. Wealth, business, the accumulation of goods is a spirit. And America is suffocating under it. Ooh, I can hardly wait to preach Sunday morning on the suffocation of America that has made money their God. It's all about cash, maybe. All about cash. Just like at the Gadarenes, when Jesus cast out the demons and commanded them to go into the pigs, and the pigs ran off the cliff and went into the water, and the people were irate and commanded Jesus to leave and almost wanted to throw him off the cliff with them. Why? Because they lost their money. They lost their source of income. It's all about money. Politics is all about money. Church, many places, it's all about money. If you can look at whose God has taken the throne, you can identify the spirit that's behind it. Did you know? Oh, don't let me preach my message, but money, listen, money is a deity. It promises you the same things God promises you. You can't serve both. But it'll deceive you into thinking it can provide for you exactly what God promises you. I hope you all are going to like me after I preach this message on Sunday. I say, Lord, whatever. And then the 21st again. And then on the 28th, I'm going to interpret for you through Scripture what I believe the political process is experiencing in America. It is a insight of revelation that's come directly from heaven. And I hope that you will have an open mind. It's not about people. It's not about political parties. It's about spirits. And I'll help you identify them. Nonetheless, back to Acts 16. That was a commercial. Stay tuned. Coming up next Thursday, 7 o'clock. We read in Acts 16, verse 25, when Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, that something happened. You know what happened? You remember what the scripture says? What happened? The place was shaken. So there must have been an earthquake. Right? An earthquake came. Not an ordinary earthquake. Listen to me, follow me. God sends intelligent earthquakes, not destructive earthquakes. Don't you be afraid of the shaking that's going around in your life, because God will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you're being shaken, it's a smart earthquake. Because the Bible says in the last day, everything that can be shaken shall be shaken. But it's all right, because the shaking is what opened up the cell doors. That's a smart earthquake. I want you to shake this region, but I don't want you to mess up a wall. I don't want one stone to fall, and I don't want one timber to come down on my boy's head. Just pop the cell door. You got it? Yes, sir, the earthquake said, and started its shaking. Isn't that crazy? That's what it is. The cell door is open. That reminds me of Matthew 27. Early on the morning. What happened? They went to the tomb. And they thought that they were going to anoint the body of Jesus. But when they got there, lo and behold, an earthquake. An intelligent earthquake. What did the earthquake do? It didn't cave in the side of the hill. It didn't fill in the tomb. It just rolled away the stone. That's a crazy smart earthquake. You might be sitting here tonight going, oh, my world is shaking and rumbling. It's all right. God sends intelligent earthquakes to open up cell doors and roll away stones to take you to the next call and the next leveling. I'm secure tonight, even though all around me is sinking sand. That's what the songwriter said. He said, my feet are on the rock on which I stand. Amen? Amen? So this is what happened at the end. The midnight hour in this Acts 16 is symbolic of a prophetic time. It's the end of the age. It's the songs in the night. I don't care how dark it gets, we ought to lift up our prophetic voices and declare that God's got it under control. I don't like these naysayers. I don't like these doomsday prophets. Oh, it's going to get bad. Oh, it's going to get... We won't even be able to this and that. I said, no, wait a minute. God is too smart to let that happen. He knows how to send intelligent earthquakes where there was no way. He'll make a way where everybody said it can't be done. Watch God. Watch God. Watch Him do what you said He can't do. I believe my God is able. Amen? So these were not dependent on circumstances or feelings. They were delivered from their prison. I just have to say this. House of restraints. Houses of bondage. People need delivered from. And in order for that deliverance to come, sometimes there has to be a shaking. Nobody wants the shaking. We want the deliverance. I want out of this prison, Jesus. Right? We went out of this prison. I went out of this tomb. God said, okay, I'm about to shake your world. Can we do that another way, please? I'd rather not do that way. What do you mean I have to lose my job? What do you mean I have to have my house go in foreclosure? What do you mean my husband has to do this and my wife does that and my children do this? Are you kidding me? I'm going to lose everything? Wait a minute. He said, don't worry about it. It's a smart earthquake. It won't scratch you. It won't hurt you. It won't cause any pain to you. You'll see on the other side of it, it was my plan, and I navigated right through it, and I brought my perfect plan and my perfect purpose into your life. Church, understand something. You and I are coming out of the house of bondage. We're coming out of the house of restraint, and it's only going to happen when the earthquake comes. In the middle of it, nobody likes it. But know this, God is faithful and He will not leave you under a pile of rubble. I'm guaranteeing you that. You and I have to check ourselves out with the Word and the Spirit and operate in unison and harmony in our life and create this divine balance. I've been really working on hearing the voice of the Spirit. I said, God, I want you to prompt me. Do you want me to do this? Should I do that? What do you want me to say today? Should I email this person? Should I follow up here? Should I actually do that? That's a good thing to do, but God, is that you? I can do that, but should I be doing that? I have to take inventory of all my actions. And you know what the problem is with Americans? We can do too many things. We can multitask. We can go and we can come and we could be at places. I mean, you can get up in the morning, get on a plane 2 hours away. Suddenly you're on another part of the country and you can get in a car and drive and you can meet people and you can get on the internet and you could talk to somebody on the other side of the world and play checkers with them. And you, if you don't know it, you just Google it and you find out whether or not this is happening and when the next summer equinox and the next harvest moon is going to be in 2016 and why it's going to come in 2016 and what happens to the northern lights and how come they show up and what causes water to have different colors. That's kind of a funny joke, you know. Lady went to the Caribbean for the first time. She was amazed at the water. And she started putting it in jars, you know. It was an aqua color and a topaz color and all of this. She said, I got to take this home and show my family and all my friends. They won't believe the beautiful colors. She pulls them out. They're all sitting in her living room. And there they were, just the color of water. She goes, I don't know what happened to them. What happened to them was the missing ingredient, the light. The light. You and I, our perception without light has no color. I might be in the middle of a cell. I might be in a dungeon. I may be in a hospital room. I may be without money. I may be feeling weak in my body, but if I have light, I have hope. I have hope. Never fall for any voice that contradicts what's written. Prayer at the river is essential to bringing life into your life. Power demonstration is for the purpose of loosing the hold of a python spirit over a generation. Your passion speaks of stone-removing, cell-opening power that will testify of the real Jesus in the last days. And I just feel tonight an unction. If you've been suffocating and feeling the weight of your trial and trouble, and you feel the crushing of circumstances, man, you're in the right place tonight. Amen. Maybe you're here and it's quaking all around you. Maybe your footing is unsure. Maybe rubble is falling in dust. Clouds are accumulating. You think, God, what's going on? I'm here tonight to pray with you and believe that God is sending intelligent shaking. Because this Python spirit has to be broken. And we're going to come in agreement with you tonight. I'm going to ask Pastor Tossie and Rita and myself, some of the other elders to join me. And whether or not your situation is to the point of total exasperation, total overcoming and overwhelming, or maybe it's just so frustrating because it won't let you alone. It doesn't matter what level it's on. Why? Because we're a Timothy people. Our great high priest, our great apostle Jesus, like Paul, selected us. Not only did he select us, church, he gave us qualities. The prophetic utterances, the apostolic authority, the transference of authority, the spiritual giftedness, the divine balance of word and spirit for the purpose of breaking every chain over God's people. And knowing that we can give a word of consolation in the middle of shaking. That's Acts chapter 16. And that's what God wants to do in your life tonight. I purposely tried to get to this point where it's only 7:56. That means, 7:56. That means we have time for prayer.
Amen.
So come on, you guys. Come on up here. Come on, elders. Come on, Pastor Tossie and Rita. Move this thing out of the way. Oh, thank you. That way I could see. And we're going to believe God tonight. If you need that prayer, we want you to come from where you are. Come on, everybody stand up. You say, I've got this crushing. I've got this earthquake. I've got this circumstance around me. I need prayer. I need apostolic authority to just come over my life. Come on. Come on down right now. Come on down. Would you go with them? They're right there. Come on. Would you come on down? Let's pray with you. We're gonna let you go. If you need to go, you know, certainly don't have to stay. You're dismissed. But just pray with us if you can stay for a few minutes. Maybe just add your faith to our faith.